I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into the Jazz Notes Podcast. It's draft week here on the Jazz Notes Podcast. Joining me here today is Jeremiah Jensen. Before we get to Jeremiah, you can download us on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on the KSL News Radio app. And you can probably find us even on the KSL News Radio page. And we'll post this at KSL Clan. I'll post this on my Twitter handle. Jeremiah will retweet and all that other stuff. He's excited about the draft. And you had Walt Perrin on yesterday, VP of Player Personnel. Okay, I heard everything that he said on the air, Jeremiah. Any hints he gave you off the air?
He gives me even less hints off the air. The funny thing is about the 21st pick is he doesn't even know. Their staff doesn't even know. You know, when you're top five, you have a pretty good gauge on what you're looking at because you can kind of, you know who's slotted where and some of the top prospects. When you're at 21 and you don't know what trades are going to happen, you don't know what guy's going to fall. You know, maybe there's a guy that's top 10 you thought, and all of a sudden he gets to 15, then to 18. Rodney Hood was one of those guys 3 or 4 years ago. You don't know what's going to happen in front of you. There's so many variables that for them, they have this long list of guys, a list that's longer than they've had in quite a while because there's this much depth in the draft. They have no idea what they're going to do.
There are a lot of wings in this draft. I'll just throw some names out there. Of guys the Jazz could draft. You've got Kevin Huerter out of Maryland. You've got Troy Brown out of Oregon. Jacob Evans out of, he went to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Jacob Evans. Dante DiVincenzo played for Villanova. You got Jerome Robinson. He played, Jerome Robinson.
Boston College.
I'm sitting there saying Virginia, and I know, no, that's not right. It's Boston College. And you got Gary Trent Jr. I'm just throwing out names here. I don't know where
those are all great names.
Any of those guys are the Jazz, would you say the Jazz are looking for a wing in this draft? Because there are plenty available. And to me, it sounds like, I'm not going to say it's a no-lose situation, but if one of those guys goes earlier, it's just like, it's okay. We got other guys we can choose.
Right. I mean, kind of all those guys are kind of lumped together as far as their skill in their position and what they can do. The Jazz will tell you, and it's correct, that they're going to take the best player available.
But we know that every year.
What's the biggest need they have? It's shooting. They've got to add three-point shooting to their roster, and there's a lot of guys in the list you just mentioned that can do that. I think DiVincenzo can shoot the three, the NBA three. Robinson, he's a scorer. That's his NBA skill right now. Gary Trent Jr. is a guy to look at there. Some people may not have him going that high, but the Jazz like him. He's got that Duke pedigree, and he is a shooter. He can shoot the ball. He shot 40% from three at Duke, and that's his NBA skill. So there's some guys in that group that can add that skill and might possibly be the best player available at number 21, depending on who's already off the board.
I kind of like Troy Brown, too. I know he's not a shooter.
He's not a shooter yet.
And I get that. But he's young. He's athletic. He's played point guard before. Mm-hmm. And he's 6'7".
And he's barely 19.
Exactly. And so I look at it. I'm not saying that I would like to see them draft a guy that's a shooter. I look at Kevin Huerter and I'm like, there's a guy that you can get. Yeah, he's maybe not as good as a Klay Thompson or anyone like that, but he's young, too. He's really young, too, and he's a good wing player, and he can shoot. So you think, oh, that'd be good. But I look at Troy Brown, and I think to myself, man, he'd be really nice to have on this team because you can bring him along, and he could fit in well, possibly next to Donovan Mitchell, and both guys can handle the ball.
So he's a young guy. He's just a freshman from Oregon. So of all that group, he's probably the biggest risk-reward. A lot of people are high on him. He's got terrific athleticism. A guy like Jerome Robinson's a proven player. He's a junior in college. So when you're the Jazz and you're a more veteran team and you've kind of got to split hairs here, do you go with the more veteran guy out of college with more experience that's more proven, or do you try to maybe roll the dice a little bit on a guy that isn't as proven but may have a higher ceiling? I think that's when you're 21, that's where those are the questions you're going to have, and that's what you're dealing with. And it's, you know, it's very rare that you get a rotation player at number 21 in the draft. And I think in this draft, because of the depth, I think they have an opportunity to do that with multiple guys. The question is, are they going to be able to hit on the right guys, or are they going to miss? And maybe you're more conservative at 21, trying to get that rotation player. And I think a guy like, you know, Jerome Robinson might be that guy.
Now, okay, I want to talk about Robinson here in a second. Me personally, I don't mind taking a risk on a guy like a Troy Brown, because you can go out there, or you can get guys, or they already have guys that they could sign to a contract or keep on their contract, at least when we're talking about veterans, who can fill in that wing position. It wouldn't be bad to bring in a guy, I think, that has a lot of upside. Yeah, you're taking a chance on him, but, man, if he turns out good, that's a really good thing. Now, the reason why I want to go back to Jerome Robinson is because Walt said yesterday, and he said this plenty of times when he did the breakdown with you and Rod on Sports Beat Sunday, he said, this guy is a definite this position. With Jerome, he goes, he is a definite two guard.
Yep.
And with the NBA the way it's going right now, where it's positionless basketball, and you like guys playing the one, the two, the three, or the two, three, four, the three, four, not five, but anyway, the 3-4, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But with Jerome Robinson, he said he's a definite two. Is that a knock? Is that a knock on him and maybe some of the other guys that Walt talked about? And maybe they don't look at him because they can only play, as we could say, one position.
Again, if you're in a situation where you're trying to pick between these guys and you want versatility and you value that versatility, then you're probably looking at a Troy Brown saying, this is a guy that can give us that versatility. He can play the point guard. He's big enough to almost play four. Not quite, but 1 through 3, that's a guy that can play multiple positions. You're right. Jerome Robinson, he's a two guard. So he's not as valuable in that sense. These are the kind of conversations that Dennis Lindsay and Walt Perrin and all these guys in the war room are having. They're going to spend all week this week, now that the workouts are done, debating these issues we're talking about right now. They have the same questions. They have the same debates. And sometimes those debates get heated. But that's how they come to the right consensus. And, you know, you got to give them credit. This group, they've hit a lot more than they've missed. They have certainly missed, but they've hit a lot more than they missed. And, yeah, those are the kind of things that you're going to discuss and try to decide what you're going to go with and what you need. But you're always going to, again, best player available, but you're right. These are things that you have to consider when you're trying to decide who the best player available is.
I think that my consensus is, when I keep looking at it, at the number 120 position, if they stay there, I almost look at it as a no-lose position right now. Maybe I'm wrong, and I could possibly be
That's
wrong.
That's fair, because is this pick going to make or break your future? Like, you remember when Dante Exum was the number 5 pick? They basically tanked that season. That was a crucial time for the franchise and a crucial pick that you still haven't seen really pay off because of Dante's injuries. Number 21, like I said, it's rare that you even find a rotation player at 21. If they miss, it's really not a big deal, other than the fact that they've got a guaranteed contract that they've got to pay somebody that's probably not getting a lot of minutes. But the value could be tremendous, because this is a deep draft and you could get a rotation player that position with that depth.
And you're not going to be paying that guy a lot of money.
No, it's a much different figure.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I look at it also as a no-lose situation because of how many wings are in this draft.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, CBS Sports' Gary Parrish and ESPN, they just threw up their, what do they call this, like their prime, the grade A mock draft. And both these people, Gary Parrish and ESPN, they say that the Jazz will choose Aaron Holiday, point guard out of UCLA, as the guy at number 21. Why pick a point guard? That's the thing that just keeps going through my head for the Jazz right now, when your number one guy is Ricky Rubio and your number two guy, who I think will eventually become the guy who handles the ball the most, which is Donovan Mitchell in the future. Why would you go out and pick a good point guard, not a great one, but a good point guard? Why do you go out and pick a point guard when you know, at the most, he's probably going to be coming off the bench for you?
Why not? And how versatile is this point guard? Can this point guard play the two? I think Holiday's pretty good. He averaged 20 points per game at UCLA. He's a scoring point guard. There's no reason why he can't play the two. There's no guarantee that their third point guard on the roster is going to be back. Hol Neto is a restricted free agent, and they may make a decision. Either he will by signing a bigger deal, or they may not match, or whatever might happen there. There's no guarantee he's coming back. So there is going to be a need for a third point guard on the roster. And again, if they believe that Aaron Holiday is the best player available, which he could be at 21, he got a green room invite. Only the top 20 players get green room invites. So That tells you something right there, that the NBA and a lot of other teams think he's pretty good. I actually would be surprised if he's there at 21, but it's very possible that he is. And, you know, you don't worry about – I talk to Walt and I talk to guys in the organization all the time. They don't worry about that. They don't worry about the position. Again, they really do believe in the best player available thing. And while we're trying to process this and see how that would fit, they worry about that later. They take the best player because you don't want to miss on a guy just because you already had three guys at the point guard position and then you end up missing on Tony Parker or whatever. You know, it might be in the past where they've maybe missed on that guy. So they don't want to make that mistake again.
I guess I get it, but I just don't see a need for another point guard right now. And if you are going to try and find big, long guys, and by the way, he's big and long for a point guard. I'm not saying
long
that.
Long wingspan, and he's got the pedigree. His two brothers are already in the
exactly.
NBA.
Exactly. I guess I just look at, I put him and Donovan Mitchell together, and yes, they could be pretty good on defense, but guys are going to be able to look over them. And I guess I see this situation in Portland right now where you have two really good, what you could consider two really good point guards up there playing next to each other, and they are fantastic, but they're also very vulnerable too.
Yeah, that's fair, and that's something they've got to consider, but I'll ask you this. You were looking at this long list of guys. Who do you think's the best fit? So if we're going to argue, so if you want to say best fit, you're looking for the best fit, who is that guy in this list for
you? I would probably say, I mean, the dark horse I like, and I told you about this, my dark horse is Troy Brown, but I would probably say, and he may not be there either,
no,
is Kevin Huerter. I don't think he may be there, and he's the guy that seems to me like he could be the best fit because, no, he's not going to start next year, but he's big, he can shoot, he likes passing the ball. I think he fits a lot of the things that the Jazz like about him. I think he's the best guy. I'm just not sure he's going to be there at 21. And I'll be honest, I don't think the Jazz are going to trade up to try and get him either.
No, I don't think they have the assets, really, to be honest.
What about you? Who do you think's the best fit right now?
I like Dante DiVincenzo. And again, I don't know if he's there, but he had 30 points in the national championship game. He was the most outstanding player in the Final Four. And he stood out on a Villanova team that has how many first-round picks they're going to have? I mean, they could have potentially have four first-round picks off that team. It may be at minimum two. So that was a very good Villanova team, and he was the star by the end of the season. And he can shoot the three. He's athletic. He can attack the rim. And they believe he can defend. So you add all those things together, I think he's exactly what the Jazz would be looking for. And I think his ceiling is pretty high. I mean, we saw how quickly he developed with Villanova. And I think making that transition to the Jazz with their development team would help his development even further. I think he'd be a great fit. I think he can do the things that would help them. I think he could get on the floor next year. That's what you're looking for, a rotation player, right? I think he has those skills. Like I said, Gary Trent Jr. is a guy that just flat out shoots. So all of a sudden you bring in a guy, maybe you get 10 minutes out of him, but you bring in a kid like that that can come in and give you 10 minutes and he's going to knock down a three or two.
All right, break time here on the Jazz Notes podcast. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jazz fans are going to be disappointed at number 21. We'll talk about that and also Donovan Mitchell and Paul George. That's all coming up next on the Jazz Notes podcast. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast right here. You're listening to us either on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts or maybe the KSL News Radio app. Thanks for downloading us. Give us a rating and let us know what you think. All right, I've got Jeremiah Jensen here, KSL TV, Sports Beat. Are fans going to be disappointed if the Jazz pick number 21? We talk about Dennis Lindsay. His first draft, he made a big splash. He made a couple trades, which included Rudy Gobert in there. And then he just picked where he picked in the next few drafts, but got some good players in those drafts too. And then the past couple of drafts, he shipped away a draft pick so that he could get George Hill, no longer on the Jazz team. And then last year, we have Donovan Mitchell. Are they going to be disappointed if he just stays at number 21, you think?
Yeah, we don't talk about this enough, but Dennis Lindsay has a flair for the dramatic on draft day. He's made a lot of draft day moves. You know, you're starting with that Trey Burke trade that didn't work out, but then you get Rudy Gobert in the same draft. That worked out pretty well. And then, you know, the Rodney Hood pick was great. And then you had the Dante Exum lottery pick. What are some other ones? The George Hill trade that came a couple days before the draft.
Actually,
we heard about that. But
say what you want about that, but that turned out good for the Jazz that year. He was
Torrey Prince is a nice player, and I don't know who the Jazz would have taken in that position. But George Hill for that year helped them get to the second round of the playoffs. I think you roll the dice on that. If you can make that trade again, you do it. So I don't think that was a bad deal. So yeah, and then of course what he did last year was that was a once in a generation thing. That's completely reshaped and changed his franchise for the better moving into the future. So naturally, you're going to expect Dennis Lindsay to hit another home run, right? So what kind of deal is he cooking? Hey, Denver's picking 14. Who's Denver picking for the Jazz this year? You know, we make that joke. But I don't think the Jazz have the assets they had in the past to be able to move up, especially in a draft like this that's so deep. I'd be stunned if the Jazz can make a move up in the draft. It wouldn't surprise me as much if they were able to acquire a veteran by trading the number 21 pick, just like they did 2 years ago with George Hill. Now, again, you got to find a trade partner, and that deal has to materialize. And then is that player that they're bringing in a fit with their roster? Because trust me on this, they love their roster and continuity. I mean, this may bore Jazz fans this offseason too, and we'll get into this with some free agent talk, but I think the Jazz really like their roster as constituted right now, and I don't see a lot of changes outside of trying to keep their own free agents.
Speaking of changes, you got Donovan Mitchell. He's really courting Paul George hard. He mentioned it again when he was in the Philippines over Father's Day. I don't think this is going to happen, but is it at least fun for you to see him continually go after Paul George and just see what he can get out of him?
I love it. It's great. And look, Donovan Mitchell's put himself in a position where I think Paul George would actually listen to him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, where there's actually a slight chance of it, you know what I mean? Like where he could at least have an audience with him. And who wouldn't want to play with Donovan Mitchell right now? Who wouldn't want to play for Quinn Snyder? He's a player's coach. Who wouldn't want to play in this system? It's a system where there's this motion offense. They share the ball. Everybody gets to touch it. The attitude and the around this team in the locker room is as good as it gets in the NBA. There's so many things to like. The facilities. This is a different Utah Jazz franchise than it was 10, 15 years ago. I think you can attract free agents now in this day and age where location isn't all that matters. I mean, Oklahoma City is a place where, you know, people want to play. Paul George, you know, seemed happy there last year. So a lot of things are changing as far as that stigma goes. And the Jazz have done a great job providing the what's needed from what a lot of these free agents might want. I love that Donovan Mitchell has the confidence to go out and reach out to some of these big names and say, come play with me. And he's been pretty bold in his statements. Like he said on the Woj pod, if you're serious about winning a title, come play with us. And he listed all the reasons why. I mean, that's a pretty compelling, you know, list he gave and an explanation where, you know, even LeBron should listen to that and say, you know what? If I go play with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, maybe that's the only way I can compete with Houston and Golden State. You know, what other team outside of Houston could make a run at Golden State right now? Maybe Boston?
Maybe. Yeah.
I put the Jazz right up there with those teams. So, I mean,
Let's talk about that in a second. But one thing to kind of wrap this up, I'd love it if it happened. I'd love to see
huge.
A big free agent. And maybe some people might not want Paul George. You know, maybe some Jazz fans may not want Paul George.
It'd be crazy if you don't.
But if you could get him, if you could convince him of all the things that you talked about and also say on top of that, we are in only an hour flight from Southern California, which is where you're from. That's not that far away.
And you have millions. You're going to make $30 million. So, you know, and get your own jet. You know what I mean?
And not only that, you're going to be playing down in L.A., quite a few times a year. So it's not like you're never, ever going to go home. I just can't wait for the day when that big free agent finally says, yeah, I'm going to the Jazz. But I think they look at it now and they say they're not quite there yet. There's something there. Even though I could be the missing piece, there's just something there that I'm not sure it's going to work out for us. So I don't know. When you said, who's the next team that could take on the Golden State Warriors? Or the Houston Rockets, you know. Looking at this, ESPN did their power rankings. They're way too early. They list the Jazz at number five.
Yeah, that's
number
where
five
they belong.
With just their roster that they have, no additions at all.
Right.
That kind of surprised me just a little bit, just because, you know, in back of them Spurs, but you're like, Spurs not that
outside
good.
Of the conference finalists. Who was the best team? It was the Jazz, right? The Jazz are better than Pelicans.
No, I would agree with you on that. I mean, Pelicans were dangerous, but. Yeah, I would agree with that. There are a lot of other dangerous teams out there, and that's why it comes back to that. They're missing that one player. That one player. It's just...
How do they get that one
player? Yeah, how do you get that one player? Because you're not going to get him with the 21st pick in the draft, and you're right. They don't have a lot of assets regardless, so I don't know. I think Jazz fans, at least me, I'm like, come on, let's accelerate this a little bit more. But on the other hand, you're like, yeah, let's not do anything stupid here either.
As Dennis Lindsay always says, you don't skip steps. I'm like you. Let's skip them all. Let's go. Let's go get them. But don't skip steps. And I think they're on the right path. But yeah, we'll see how long it takes.
Jeremiah Jensen. He'll be. I don't think he's covering the draft, but don't.
Oh, I'm covering the draft.
He's covering the draft. Just follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
At JJ Sportsby.
He's covering the draft. I'm hopefully going to be at the draft, too. We're going to have something after the draft, right after the draft. We're going to do a podcast right after the draft. We're going to have coverage for the draft on KSL News Radio and also KSL Channel 5. It's an exciting time. This is an exciting time.
I love this week. It's like Christmas. You're like opening up all these presents. Every time they announce a new name, it's like opening a present. I love it.
Even the other teams, all the names.
Everything. Draft through 30. I love it. I'm totally hooked.
Draft night's fun. Make sure you download us next time so that you can find out what we think about the Jazz, how the Jazz drafted in the NBA draft. Thanks a lot for downloading us and listening to us. Jeremiah says thanks.
That's right. Thank you very much.
All right. And thank you for me, Cleon Wall. We'll be back again on Friday morning after the Jazz draft on Thursday.